Well, hello, everybody. Ed here. We're going to get started here in just a couple of minutes, just waiting for a few more folks to join us. Hey, while we're waiting, would love to hear, just for fun, if you can go to the chat area and let me know, did you do anything fun during the break? Take some time off. Did you go anywhere fun? Were you able to put up with the in-laws if you visited them or they visited you? Let me know in the chat area. My family and I basically stayed here and rented a cabin in the mountains after Christmas and just stayed up there for 4 days to kind of recharge and change our atmosphere. So pretty much uneventful, no family, just friends, and feel renewed and ready to take on the year. So let me know in the chat area what you did. Curious. And we'll get started here in a minute. Let's see, who do we have here? Hey, Francis, good to see you. Kristen, Christy, Paul, welcome. Tim, welcome. Good to see you here. Bill, welcome to the call. We got some new folks joining us, it's great to have you guys here on board. Oh, Can T Mac. So who is that? It looks like a username. Hello. Oh, Tim McKnight. All right, Tim. It's coming in as Can T Mac, so I'll try to remember that. That's really you. Got a couple of Tims in the group. Dan, welcome. Salee, welcome. Great to see you here. And all right, so let's do this, guys. We're got a few of you on. We're gonna go ahead and get started. And for those of you who are new, you'll see that we typically just start these calls the same way. I like to start these discussions on a positive note. And what I'd like for you to do, if you could go to the chat area and type in a capital W right now and just let me know about a win that you've had over the past few weeks. Now, a win does not necessarily need to be something as big as landing a paying client. It could be the fact that, hey, you started the program and you're going through it. You're being diligent about going through the material and doing your homework. It could be that you got a breakthrough, that you had an insight, that you're making progress, that you finally sent out your first prospecting email. Anything along those lines that just makes you feel good about the progress you're making. Just share it with us in the chat area. And just type in a capital W in front of it so I know that that's what it is. All right, so let's see. We got Christy here. Says, hey, I got started on my website. Wonderful. Good stuff. There you go. That is progress right there. It's a big step and certainly an obstacle for a lot of people. A lot of new writers are really struggle with that, and they just keep procrastinating because they know it's a big step. Paul says, have my first client as mentioned, my question on the list, pick up a deposit check for him on Monday. Oh man, that's wonderful, Paul. I saw that you had a question come in. I hadn't read it yet. So that's wonderful. I wonder, was it one of those, and I'll get to your question, but it was one of those you and I had corresponded in the Facebook group about a possibility there. I'm guessing it might be that. Let's see, Tim says, finally finished draft of website tech. That's much procrastinating. Hey, congratulations. Big step. Good to hear that. Karen says, figured out how to post the chat on this to the chat of this version of Zoom. Yeah, it can be a little wonky depending on which version you have. It's gotten better. Kristen says, submitted web copy for review and started revising language for my LinkedIn profile. Excellent. Bill says, hired by an agency to write a thought leadership piece for a big international bank for a good fee. Followed Ed's advice on reaching out to network. Oh, man, that is great news, Bill. Great to hear that, my friend. Paul, yeah, cool, you're a financial planner. Excellent, Paul. Francis says, I passed the SEO by the SEO Content Institute exam. Congratulations, Francis. That is wonderful. Love that. Bill says, I'm here, but not here. I have patients that I will most likely be taken care of. What's the W for? Oh, for wins. So we're sharing wins, Bill. And by the way, welcome to the group. Bill's one of the new folks joining us. We always start with wins from the past couple of weeks. And just if you type in W in front of it, that's what I know you're referring to. It's just a win. Okay, let's see. Tim H, excuse me, says started on website, planning LinkedIn setup. And Paul says meet with another hot prospect tomorrow and two more at a networking meeting yesterday evening. And you're on fire, my friend. Networking F2F is really productive. Yeah, no kidding, right? Dan says, I finished the restaurant letter last night for the AWAI copywriting course. Hey, big step. I still remember my restaurant letter. They've actually been using that for years. I did mine in 2003. I love doing that. That was a great exercise. Bill says, I got a client last week, video script, totally undercharged, but they loved it. Hey, you know what, Bill? That is awesome. If you can get started like that early on and land something, one of the things you're going to keep hearing me and Susan say is it's not so much about how much you ended up charging or what the project was. It's the boost in confidence and momentum you get when you land a client, period. So I'd love to hear that. That's wonderful. Congratulations. All right. Good stuff, guys. Love the momentum, especially those of you guys who just started. Love to hear that you are taking action, moving forward, making progress. One last thing before we get to questions. If you keep just stay in the chat area and type in a capital I, and then let me know what you're currently working on right now in the program. So are you working on positioning right now? Are you working on your website copy? Are you working on building, getting your website up, running live? Are you starting to prospect? Are you working with a client right now? So what specifically are you working on? Just want to get a feel for where everybody is right now in the program. Just type in a capital I and then let me know next to it. So Bill is working on website copy, trying to figure out what market to go into. Cool. I saw your question there in the Facebook group yesterday. Hopefully that helped give you a little bit of perspective and some advice. All right, who else? What are you working on? Paul says, prospecting, sent out 134 postcards to my manufacturing prospects yesterday. Awesome. Bill, website copy, organizing samples. Yeah, good stuff. Karen, starting my website copy. Okay. Salih, website copy. Yeah, Bill says, I had a new question to the list of questions for the meeting today. Okay, good. Good stuff. Tim, website copy about to submit draft for checking. Awesome. Kristen, building websites. A lot of you are working on the website right now. Good stuff, especially a lot of you who have joined us in the past few weeks. That's great news. That tells me that you didn't waste time. You started taking action right away. Christy's also building website. Awesome. All right. Good stuff, guys. So let's do this. Let's go ahead and get to questions. Now, especially for those of you who are new, want to give you a little bit of guidance here and just explain how we typically do this. If you have a question, you can just go to the chat area and type in a capital Q and just, you know, you don't have to give me the whole background, but let me know what the question is. We're probably going to have a chat unless you're somewhere where you just can't talk. Okay. So I'm going to unmute you and we can just have a conversation, and that way I can help you as best I can. So type in capital Q and let me know what your question is. Now, the grand rules are pretty straightforward. Keep your question focused and specific. Let's limit it to one question per person. Don't worry, if you got more than one, I can come back to you. We usually do two or three rounds, but I want to give everyone an opportunity to get their question answered. So that's pretty much it. If it's the kind of question where you're considering a couple of options, when we chat, go ahead and let me know what those options are, just so I understand how you're thinking about the problem. Now, one last thing with questions. you can always pre-submit questions for these calls. Now, we had quite a few that were pre-submitted for this call, but let me just explain, just to make sure you guys understand the difference between asking them live, asking them in the Facebook group, and then pre-submitting. If you have something, because I saw a couple of questions that you guys pre-submitted like a week ago, okay? That's fine if your intention was, hey, I know this is going to be answered during the call, okay? And if there's no urgency, that's fine. Most cases, though, I suspect that if the call is not going to be for another week or, you know, 10 days or whatever, that you probably want an answer sooner than that. So don't pre-submit it there, because the only time Susan and I look at pre-submitted questions is as soon as we start a coaching call, okay? And we start with those pre-submitted questions. If you know you're going to be here, there's no need to pre-submit them, okay? Just because it's better if you ask it live and we have a conversation. Much more effective that way. So if you know you're going to be here, then no need to pre-submit it. If you know you're not going to be here, or you think you may not be here or might miss quite a bit of the call, that's a great time to pre-submit a question that you have, because we record these calls and we make the replay available the following day, okay? So bottom line, if you know you're going to be here for the call, there's no need to pre-submit it. If you know you might miss it or miss part of it, then you may want to go ahead and pre-submit. And keep in mind that we can also address questions and give you feedback in the Facebook group. Susan and I are there every business day, okay? So you don't have to wait for the calls. We can give you feedback and answer questions in the Facebook group. So just use these resources. We're here to help you. We want nothing but success for you, okay? So those are the different options. All right, so let's start with the questions that were pre-submitted. And what I might do is I may kind of summarize some of these, or in cases where I know you're here, I'll go ahead and once I read it, bring you in the call, okay? Because it's going to be much more effective if we have a conversation. The first one is from Kristen, and I believe she's on the call. I was working through lesson one, and I have a question about if the potential market is innovative, expensive, or complex. All right. Kristen, this was from a week ago. Okay. So if I remember correctly, you said you're already working on website copy. Let me know real quick in the chat area if this is something that you've already, since it was a week old, that you've already addressed, or if you want me to still go through this. I'm totally fine going through it. I just, you know, want to make sure this isn't something that, you know, you've already gotten clarity on. So I'm going to skip that one for now until I hear from you. Oh, it's resolved. Okay, awesome. So just again, Kristen, anything like that, especially, hey, you're trying to make a decision, let us know in the Facebook group, because we can answer it there very quickly as opposed to having to wait for a call. Of course, we're having a call soon, then it's up to you. But and if you want to come on, Kristen, maybe get a little bit more clarity or ask follow-up questions, totally cool. So just let me know. All right, you had a second question. Let's see, about a potential target market. Oh, okay, I see. Now I've opted to focus on engineering products rather than professional services. I still feel a little waffly about the decision because I'm more comfortable with professional services, but I think I'd be fighting a somewhat uphill battle regarding the value of my services. They don't seem to do a lot of copy and content writing, at least not the ones I've worked with. Companies that sell products obviously know that they need marketing materials, and their products are expensive, complex, and also and often innovative. So even though I'm a bit less comfortable there, I know I could do it, and I should have an easier time picking up clients. Okay, so if you think my original question is valid to discuss for others, then please feel free to talk about it, but we don't need to. Okay, cool. So let me see here. Let me skip that, Kristen. I might come back to it a little bit later, okay? In terms of, you know, kind of giving people a little bit of background here so they can kind of think through this. I think, you know, bottom line with a lot of these decisions is if you are right now trying to make a decision on your positioning and you're torn between a target market where they sell products, services, and solutions that are innovative, expensive, and complex, but you don't have quite as much experience there as another one where they don't sell, generally speaking, products that are innovative or expensive or complex. I would rather you go with the first one, the one where that all or at least two of those factors check out: innovative, expensive and complex. And if it's three, perfect. Even if you don't have as much experience. Now, you guys remember that there were other factors to consider, right? Is the nature of your network in that target market. Also, how you feel about the topics and the people that you might be working with, topics you'd be writing about. So that's just one of the three filters, you know, in terms of the demand for copy and content is not the only one. But let's just say everything else is equal. I would rather you go with one where there's going to be greater demand because of the nature of what they're doing. And when you have industries or markets where, generally speaking, they sell products, services, and solutions that are new or innovative, expensive, and complex, that really points to a higher demand for copy and content, which means, you know, the higher demand for an outside writer. So anyway, that just we can come back to that if you guys like. Okay, Tim McKnight, just about finished my draft for the website text. And without thinking about it too much, my natural style has kicked in, a fairly conversational style strategically studied with a few alliterations for rhythm. It's a style that I've developed independently, but heard John Carlton talking about as well, and he seems to use it effectively. Given the target readers are marketing managers at advanced metals and materials companies, do you think that style is a bit too light? I'm going with my gut here and some inspiration from Nick Osborne and John Carlton in taking a shot at communicating what can often be fairly dry content in an engaging way that is simultaneously persuasive and pleasant to read. I want to show potential clients that I understand them and their customers, and they don't need to churn out lifeless content simply to appear professional. How does that sound as an approach? I think that's a great approach, Tim. Here's my take on that is, if it doesn't come naturally to you and you're using it as a gimmick, it may not be as effective. But it sounds, what I'm hearing, Tim, is this is really like you've bought into this and you're also good at it, at writing in this style, using this style. And if that's the case, I would go for it. People can tell when you're using things as a gimmick. I got a coaching client right now in another group, and she's writing for tech and health IT companies specifically, and her style is very much like that. It's punchy, conversational, it's fun, and I could just tell when I reviewed her copy yesterday that that is her natural style, and she can pull it off. She really can. It doesn't come across as, like, if I try to do that, that's not my natural style, by the way, in B2B. I have to, not that I don't write conversationally, I do, but my style is not what you're describing here. It's just that doesn't come naturally to me. So when I try, it feels and it comes across as a little forced, a little gimmicky. But it sounds like in your case, it comes from the heart, and I think that is a great approach. You're going to stand out. Now, will you be a kind of the obvious choice for every prospect? No, not necessarily. But you know what? Your message will resonate with prospects who understand the value of that and appreciate you bringing that to the table. So I say go for it. I think that's a wonderful thing. And I'm glad you really thought about that. I appreciate where your question's coming from. All right. Here's a question from Karen, pre-submitted. She says, here's my draft positioning statement. Still might be a little wordy. I would like to get feedback if possible. I wasn't sure if I should also include something in my project management background. Perhaps it belongs in the web copy. All right. Here we go. So she says, I'm a seasoned information technology veteran who works with small to mid-sized technology and consulting companies to build a foundational digital marketing strategy that reduces the uncertainty that can be associated with marketing technology products and consulting. But like most digital marketing strategists, I have both formal and informal technology education and expertise and understand the technology features and related business benefits to deliver a more targeted approach to creating and distributing their marketing to prospects and customers. This reduces unproductive marketing spend, enhances and grows their marketing reach, and positions up for growth. Okay, good stuff. Couple of comments, Karen. The first, remember that this is strictly for internal use right now. Okay, so when I'm reading this, I'm not judging it or evaluating it or critiquing it as if it were copy. However, I do want to make a comment here, just FYI. When you do turn this to copy, make sure that you break this up. Right now, these are very long, complex sentences. There's a lot packed in here. You're going to have to really kind of simplify this, okay? So you may, you know, it's up to you. Like, you may want to go ahead and kind of take a stab at that now, even though it's an internal really set of copy or set internal information for you right now. It might be easier when you do go ahead and transition into copy, okay? But right now, if this were copy, this would be too much. But I think it's fine the way it is, because this is really for your internal use only. It's the genesis of your copy. Now, the other thing that I notice is that you're selling yourself as a strategist, a digital marketing strategist. And what I have found all the years of doing this is that it's going to be very difficult, when you're starting out especially, to sell yourself as a strategist instead of a writer or copywriter. Because when the identified need that clients have is not typically strategy. The identified need is, I need someone to help me write this white paper. I need someone to work with us on writing case studies. We need someone to help us with our marketing collateral. Okay, so these are more tactical, not as strategic, but these are identified needs. These are much easier ways to get in the door. So if I were you, I would kind of flip this a little bit. Instead of positioning yourself as a strategist, I would position yourself as a writer with a strategic mind. So let me do this, Karen. Before I go too far, let me go ahead and bring you in. I'm going to unmute you. And I wanted to kind of check in first with you. Hey, Karen, you're unmuted. How are you?
I'm good. Do you hear me?
Yeah. How are you?
I'm doing well. I appreciate the feedback.
Cool. So far, is that making sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
I thought it might be like that. And so, and that's really the kind of feedback that I was looking for, whether or not that was a good place in the market to start or whether I should do something slightly different starting off.
Yeah, you have a great background. And so here's what I would do. If you just position yourself as a writer or a copywriter with a strategic mind, a strategic experience, that's wonderful. I did something similar. And what I said was, and this is not actual copy I used, but something to the effect of, I'm that writer and copywriter who has a strategic mind. So, you know, I can help you with these more tactical projects, but just know that when we need to have a conversation about strategy, I can come right into that conversation and work with you there. Meaning I can follow along easily. And by the way, if you also need some help with strategy, I can also help you do that. So it's kind of a by the way, not so much what you lead with. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you.
Yeah. But everything else is, it's great. So let me go back here with that. I have a formal, informal. I wouldn't say formal and informal. I would just say education, expertise, understand the technology features, benefits. So just really kind of highlight your background here. You know, I have the education, I have the practical experience in IT, and I know how to talk about features and benefits in an engaging way, something along those lines. So what you'll have to do, especially like this last sentence as an example, because the shift is going to be to a more tactical message, then you don't have to go as big picture with the why that matters, the end result, right? So that this reduces unproductive marketing spend, enhances a gross business. Like that part, I would downplay that a little bit and go down a layer, because that's kind of bigger picture. That would be the result of strategy.
Okay. I'm making me some fast and furious notes. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. You got a great background and yeah, you're not going to have any problems. And listen, as you progress, as your business grows, you will know how to make the right decision. Like, I've seen people who end up kind of going in that strategic direction, but that comes from a place of, hey, I've already been working with clients in this regard. I have a track record here, proof of concept. I got case studies on how I've helped some of these clients. So that's a very different thing. But when you're starting out, let's get you in the door with identified needs, and then you can go from there.
Okay. Excellent. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Let's see. Tim has a question. He says, I'll drop into the live session for a short time. Oh, that's right. Yeah, because it's 3 a.m. there. So would it be okay for you and everyone to call, quickly touch on my question at the beginning? Yeah, absolutely. So we addressed that one. So Tim, hopefully, I think Tim went back to bed. hey, great that you were able to join us, my friend. That's dedication right there. Okay, Francis says, as an experienced copywriter and coach, are you familiar with the success rates of freelance copywriters applying for work from the job boards like Indeed or Virtual Vocations? Now that the holidays are over and I have completed my SEO certification, I'm looking for work in earnest. I understand your warm-up prospecting probably won't produce immediate results. I'll start working on that soon. Any suggestions? Okay. Here's my take on job boards. Okay. I want to be really clear on this. Job boards in and of themselves are not a bad place. Okay. But, you have to be careful in terms of how you look at them. I find that a lot of freelancers are lured in by the just kind of the appeal of going into a platform where there's thousands of potential clients who have raised their hands and identified a need to hire somebody. That is very attractive. I totally get that. But what you're not factoring in when you see that is the other half of the equation, which is, okay, how many writers are competing for those, let's just say, 3,000 jobs? The ratio is usually 10 to 1, 20 to 1. So for 3,000 prospects who have raised their hand and said, I'm looking for a writer to help me with X, you're going to have 30,000 people trying to compete there. So then when you realize that, you see that, well, it's not as attractive a place as I thought it would be, okay, as attractive a platform. And in the best way I've seen this described is by someone who has done a lot and gotten clients in some of these platforms and done really well there. And she said, look, I've done really well on Upwork, but she told me it's like a consignment store. Like, you have to sort through a lot of garbage in order to find that one item that's worth anything, you know? So because of that, you have to factor in the time and energy you would have to put in to sift through, you know, all those shirts and all that lawn equipment that's broken and it's not worth anything, just to find, you know, that one leaf blower that actually works kind of thing. Or that shirt that's not stained, that, you know, actually fits you and it's right size, right color, that sort of thing. So keep that in mind. Now, having said that, you can drastically cut back the time and energy that you would have to invest once you're positioned the right way. So once you're clear about your positioning, then it becomes easier because then you know, okay, this is my target market. So unless they're in my target market, I'm not even looking at it. Also, these are the two or three types of projects that I'm really focused on. If you have any, by the way. And if you do, then now you're able to focus in and identified your target market, then that makes it a little bit easier because now you're looking for, and let's just say, medical practices that need help with website copy. And, you know, you could set up filters, you could set up parameters, and of course, when you present yourself and when you create your profile, then you can go ahead and position yourself that way. So that makes it a lot easier. Now, even then, I don't think that should be the only place where you're looking for business. I wouldn't put all my eggs in that basket, okay? So My suggestion would be if you feel that you've narrowed down your target market, you're clear about it, you can be clear about the type of work you want to do. You know, if you really want to focus on SEO web copy, then I would go for it, but I would not abandon warm email prospecting and other prospecting methods, because you don't want to rely strictly on this platform. So, that would be my advice. Now, the other thing you could do is, you know, once you land one or two clients there, then you now have a couple of samples, proof of concept. You got a bit of a track record there. You have something you can now leverage to start prospecting elsewhere. Okay. So that would be my last piece of advice is don't get stuck there. Don't stay in Upwork and Indeed. Use it for what it is and then continue to focus on other prospecting methods and channels. All right. Bill has a question here. Hey, Ed, I would appreciate it if you can answer. Out of these areas below, where should I place my focus and get started? You mentioned that we should only pick one niche and get going. I personally manage a functional medical clinic and have a health and wellness blog. However, I have worked in all these industries in the last 30 years. Okay, so, Bill, see, are you still here? Yeah. I answered this in the Facebook group yesterday, so I wanted to make sure you saw my answer there. But just for everyone's sake, so Bill's listing healthcare, health and fitness, real estate, construction, and cannabis. Basically what I responded with yesterday was healthcare right there. That's probably going to have the biggest possibilities for you because it's obviously a massive market. Okay. And you have great credibility, as a, practitioner in the fact that you work in a functional medical clinic. Okay. So that gives you something, to leverage. So that you can't go wrong with healthcare. And that would be where I would keep it for now. I wouldn't necessarily go any narrower. Let's get started there. And then as you start landing clients, you'll be able to know how to narrow that down a little bit more. I do think in big markets like healthcare, IT, professional services, et cetera, it's better to start out with the broad category. And then as you start growing and landing clients, start narrowing it down to kind of sub niches within those. But right now I would keep it there. And then my other piece of advice that I talked about in the Facebook group was, because you were asking about health and fitness and wellness, you know, where is the opportunity there? And I said that the biggest one, and I actually included a link with some ideas, is in the B2B corporate, health and wellness space. There's lots of companies that are doing some great stuff there with wellness programs for employees of corporations. And those are, you know, those are big deals. In fact, I had a client, a division of Kaiser Permanente, had a client for a couple of years that's what they did. And these are million-dollar plus engagements and deals with corporate clients. And I wrote white papers for them, did all kinds of stuff, and mostly white papers actually, but big industry, and it continues to grow. So that's another possibility there, but that's more narrowly niched. So I would be a little careful in terms of starting there because, you know, we're not talking about thousands of prospects. I'd rather see you start somewhere like healthcare where we're talking about tens of thousands of prospects and then maybe start narrowing it down. By the way, Bill, I didn't unmute you because I know you're at work, but let me know if you went. If you have some follow-up questions on that, I'm happy to bring you in. Just let me know in the chat area. All right, Paul has the last pre-submitted question, and then we'll get to Q&A. And again, guys, if you have a question, just go to the chat area, type in capital Q, and let me know what your question is, and we can have a conversation. All right, Paul says, I met with my client yesterday to deliver my proposal for his newsletter. My proposal is 5 pages of information about all the decisions, components, and marketing that go into creating, publishing, and distributing a newsletter. It included a list of 21 targeted questions and concludes with services I will be providing, one-time cost for setup, and an estimate of cost per newsletter. I quoted $400 per page if they supply the first draft and $800 per page if I write it. I also quoted $100 an hour regular rate. My wife convinced me not to go in at $125 an hour. My client has no problem with the fees. He spent $100K on marketing last year, or what is essentially a one-person business. My point is, don't second guess what small businesses spend on marketing. I spent about 3 hours with him and his new rep yesterday, and I have over 1.5 hours of audio recordings of the meeting. I have been reviewing that all this morning and making notes. In the meeting, I discover he actually wants me to handle all his marketing. Oh, wow. Now I want to quote monthly retainer, and I'd like suggestions as to how to go about it. He wants an invoice for tax purposes, and I need to write something up for our next meeting on Monday. I will do the invoice for his newsletter and the monthly retainer proposal separately. I mentioned the retainer. Okay, yeah. So let's talk about this, Paul. Let me bring you in. Hey, Paul. How are you?
Good morning, Ed. Or afternoon, I guess.
Good afternoon, man. Congratulations. This is great.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's all a big avalanche at once.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Well, wonderful stuff. It's a good problem to have, right?
Yes, it is.
So let's talk about what to do here. And I'm going to, let me share my screen with you. And I'm going to give you kind of a quick and dirty explanation of how I would approach this. And before I do that, I want you to understand that I don't typically recommend proposing retainers with a new client, somebody you haven't worked with yet. And let me explain why, and you know, you can make your decision. But it's if you move too fast, there's a high probability that it doesn't work out, because this has got to be, you have to be a really good fit for each other, and you don't know that until you've done a couple of projects for somebody. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. I'm just saying proceed with caution, okay?
Right.
It's like, you know, like getting married, right? It's you meet somebody, they've agreed on the first date, and you know, the night before that date, she calls you and says, by the way, I know we're going to have a date tomorrow, but listen, let's talk marriage. Are you ready for that? You know, it'd just be a little awkward. So it's kind of the same thing. So just proceed with caution. In terms of retain
that, except that it's my client who proposed marriage, not me.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said she's calling you the night before the first date and saying, hey, I know we got a date tomorrow. are you interested in getting married? And we can talk more about it tomorrow, but are you interested in getting married? So
yeah.
And you're right. That does change things a little bit, because they're the ones pursuing you. But just be careful. You don't know what the expectations are. You don't know what they're like. And I'm going to give you a suggestion that's going to minimize your risk anyway.
Okay.
Here's what I would do. Do you have a sense for what he's going to want to work on?
Yes, I do.
A retainer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that was really an involved 3.5 hour meeting.
Perfect. Quick and dirty. Here's how I like to approach retainers, and I've done a few of these that worked out really, really well. Okay, deliverable A, deliverable B. Okay, so the first thing I like to do is I like to try to make it as tangible as possible. I want to kind of get a sense for what they're going to need from me, even if we're taking an educated guess and with most of them, okay? So that's the first thing I would like to do. It's just some kind of rough inventory of what they're going to need. The second thing would be quantity of each, fee per unit, and then extension. Okay, so let's just say three of this one. Normally I would charge about $1,000. The extension is $3,000. All right. Okay. You can use my, have you gotten to session 7 yet?
I've actually done every session.
Okay, perfect. So, you have my master fee schedule you can use as a guide, and, you know, you got a good sense of budget and all that. So, we don't necessarily need to talk about that now unless you want to, but you're just trying to get an approximation. Okay.
Right.
This one is going to be, let's say 5. And again, many times you're going to be guessing. Okay. And this is going to be 500. So this is 2500. All right. What you do is you keep going. And by the way, this is not something you're going to share. This is something you're doing in a spreadsheet internally. And then you're going to come out with a total. And let's just say it's 30 grand. You have a choice here. And that is, and again, you're not going to be sharing this, but because there's volume, you can go ahead and just take a discount. Or you could just leave it at 30,000. Okay. So when I've done a discount, I haven't shared this with a client, and you'll see why, but I might do like 10, 15%.
Okay.
What I would normally charge because of the volume and the guaranteed work. Okay. But let's just say it's 30,000. And then the next thing, you just got to divide it by the number of months. And let's say you're going to agree on a 6-month agreement. So we're talking 5,000 a month. Okay. And what I present to the client is essentially, look, we're going to be working in this capacity. It's going to be a 6-month agreement. Okay. We're going to work on these items. I have flexibility around that. I understand that we may need to, make some adjustments and so forth, and I will work with you on those adjustments. But our goal is to accomplish these things, okay, over a 6-month period. And I will agree to work with you on those, $5,000 a month. Now, you want to put some restrictions and in place that's going to help both of you and minimize the risk. One is each party gets a 30-day, has the right to a 30-day out. So if for some reason they want to terminate, they can do so with 30 days notice. What that means is, you know, they would still have to pay for that month, and you agree to do, you know, the work for that month. But, you know, it's 30-day notice. Why? Because you are basically saying no to other clients because they're first in line. Okay. And by the way, you have that right as well. If it's just not working out, then you're able to, you know, to go ahead and exercise that right. 30 days. You still have to work with them for 30 days. That leads me to my final point, which is you never want to notice that I didn't say anything about hourly and number of hours per week and a bank of hours. I've had prospects say, you know, can we buy a bank of hours a month from you, or, you know, so many hours a month? And that always leads to problems because now it becomes a focus on how many hours you're working and how many did you use. The more efficient you get, that penalizes you, you know, because you're charging by the hour. And right. Then it leads to the other huge problem with that type of retainer model, which is, all right, well, we didn't use all the hours this month. Can you carry them over next month into next month? And now that's a problem, you know. So because that doesn't give you what you really want, which is the income predictability. Now, I'll say one last thing. You want to let them know that you agree every 30 days to have a quick, like, you know, let's say a 30-minute call, where you will look at work completed and work in progress and make sure that there is alignment with the retainer fee. So in other words, you want to check in every month to make sure that that they feel and you feel that there's alignment here, that, you know, that they're not suddenly like way behind and, you know, you're still charging $5,000 a month. Okay. And that helps the client. It helps them feel, really diffuse their risk because they know that you're going to have a conversation every month and, you know, they're not locked in for 6 months without any kind of visibility. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Actually, these are very good suggestions.
And I just want the client to always understand that, look, I'm on your side. I want this to work out for both of us. And this is why I said earlier, I like to do this with clients I've already worked with, because the biggest thing here, well, two things, is trust. There's got to be trust in the relationship. Where there's no trust, these things, well, first of all, most clients won't even go for it. They want hourly because they can trust that more than they can trust this. The other thing is, you never want to position this as a, I'm giving you a deal. That's kind of a secondary benefit. You want to position this as, look, Mr. Client, when I work with clients in this capacity, you're first in line. It's the velvet rope principle. You're first in line. Like, you have my highest priority, my highest attention. You're getting the royal treatment. That's what you're getting for putting me on a retainer.
Right. Yeah, and I didn't mention any kind of a discount in my proposal except for the setup fee. The rest of it had no discount associated with it.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, like, don't, but you know, if they ever come up with, and it doesn't sound like this guy would, or don't ever bring up, hey, listen, because we're doing so much work, you know, I have a discount factored into this. The moment you bring that up and they start asking questions, well, what is it? What would it be without it? And then they start kind of, there's a chance that they'll start haggling. Well, what if we took, you know, in that case, what if we took, this out? You know, so you don't want them getting the client in that kind of discussion or that kind of thinking.
Yeah, that won't get me to my goal.
Yeah. The other thing I would say is, if you start finding, and I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, but let's just say this goes through and suddenly starts looking like this, where, you know, the whole idea is to end up with, you know, kind of a stable 5K a month for X amount of work. If it starts, well, they're paying you that, but then the work kind of started out here, but then it dipped, and then, you know, it went up a little bit, but it's still, notice I'm still under that curve, and now this is month five. You can't be expected to, in 1 month, do this.
Right.
With the work. Because you can't possibly cram, you know, 70% of the work capacity here. Like, that's just, you can't. You just, I mean, you can't do 5 white papers in 4 weeks.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, and that's why you have these checkpoints, you know, 30 days, 30 days, 30 days, 30 days, and you can bring that up. Hey, listen, here you're a parity. Here, man, there's a big difference. That's okay. We're going to, you know, we got Bill already on board, and, you know, we're going to be working on this thing. Okay, great. So you can address these shortfalls at these meetings. And, you know, I had a client, actually, I'll be honest, every situation I've had, the client has always been below. But they were okay with it. They were okay. And because they were okay with it, guess what? When they started changing the scope on me, like, you know what? I know we said we were going to do two of these, but we really need three more. Can we do that? Then I'm much more flexible because we're kind of short. You know, I've been making a lot on this deal.
Right. Okay. So, well, in that case, it gets back to, well, that's pretty close to what your hourly rate is as well. So it makes your billing less efficient as far as you're concerned.
Yeah.
But I expect that's something you have to deal with anyway. So that's the nature.
Yeah, you just got to be flexible. You know, it's because, again, it's trust on your part too, right? It's they got to trust you, and then you got to trust them.
Absolutely.
So it's a give or take.
Yeah, and hopefully the work I do is productive, so they're seeing results, and those don't become issues anyway.
There you go. Even better when you're dealing with, you know, results, this suddenly becomes kind of a non-issue.
Yeah.
Because now really you're paying for, they're paying for results.
Absolutely. And my client mentioned that right up front. It's an amazing opportunity. So I'm going to do everything I can to make it work within reason.
Wonderful. Yeah. There you go. Man, go for it. Keep us posted.
Okay. And thanks for the good training, because that went a long way toward making this happen.
Perfect. Yeah. Happy to do it. Yeah. I've learned the hard way how not to do it and how to do it right.
Those are the lessons you remember.
Exactly. All right, Paul. Good luck, buddy.
Thanks, Ed. You have a good day.
You too. Okay, good stuff. All right, Bill has a question. Do you think badges are necessary? Do they help us get more work? Yeah, great question. I'm glad you brought this up. This comes up often. And all right, here's my take on badges. There's been a huge movement over the past 3 years or so, 3-4 years, towards certifications. Certifications have become huge business in the education field. You know, you see it with writers, designers, all kinds of creatives, but also in other professions. And I'm just going to be really honest with you guys. I find that it creates a dependency. It creates a mindset of, oh, if I have this badge, that's going to solve my problems. If I have the certification, that's going to solve my problems. That's going to get me clients. And it becomes a crutch. And it becomes something that people use as a way to avoid the real work they have to do from a prospecting and marketing standpoint. So, and I'm not saying everyone does this, but I see it a lot. Oh, I just need to get certified. I got to get this badge and the certification. And they do that, and then they stop doing, or they slow down the things that are really going to move the needle in their business and bring cash in the door. At the end of the day, guys, that's what it, you know, that's what it's all about, right? You got to bring income in. So, I think it's fine as long as you have the discipline to keep doing the things you need to do, the things that I'm teaching you in this program, you know, continue knocking on doors. That's what's going to really move the needle. And if you have the badges, great, but don't use them as an excuse to stop doing those things. The other thing you shouldn't use them as is kind of your core differentiator. So, you know, we talk about positioning here. What you do, for whom, what makes you different. Don't use the badges and certifications as your core differences, because those are not good enough. Now, that if that's all you have, if truly that's all you have, then sure. But I suspect that you have more than that. So don't use that as, well, if I get, you know, all these certifications, then that's what's going to make me different. That's not going to be good enough. I don't mean to be critical of organizations that do badges and certifications, and in many cases they're well-meaning. I'm also seeing a lot of organizations who are making a killing selling certification programs, and they don't do a very good job vetting their students. And frankly, the ability to pass the test for the certifications are pretty straightforward, and it doesn't take much, you know. So I have much more respect for when certifications are just getting the certification, being able to pass a test. When the tests are very rigorous, they're extremely demanding, and only a certain percentage of people pass. Those are the ones that I look for. So that's my take on those. Don't use them as a crutch. Okay, so Bill, I saw that, yeah, you added cannabis to another industry. I think cannabis is a tough one. Cannabis is right now is the Wild West. I've had coaching clients who have started from zero, and I've worked with them, and they are doing extremely well in cannabis. Okay, so, you know, it's definitely very promising. However, here's the thing. I would not position myself in the cannabis industry just because it's hot. You have to have something in your background that makes you different, that really makes sense to leverage and make you the obvious choice for a client in the cannabis industry. If all it is like, well, I just think it's a hot industry, so I want to go after it, that's just not good enough. Number one, there's you're going to find too, there are enough writers in there who have experience and a track record there for you to compete with just the fact that you're interested in it. And just in case you're wondering, just, you know, the fact that you smoke weed, you know, every week, that's just not good enough either. So I'm not saying that's you, Bill. Okay. Not at all. I'm just saying that I get this question a lot. So unless you have something tangible, Okay. So you say I have that background, but cannabis is still only legal on the state levels. Yeah. Perfect. Then if you do have something tangible that you can leverage and talk about, then it's definitely one to consider. Keep in mind though that, you know, when I'm now I know a little bit more about what else you're considering and you have healthcare there. Healthcare has got bigger promise because it's established. Cannabis is kind of the Wild West and, lots of startups who don't have money, don't understand that they need written materials, good written materials, still the founder trying to write this stuff and, you know, somebody in the office trying to do it. I mean, so you're going to come across a lot of that. So you have to sift through a lot of junk, you know, going back to the consignment store metaphor, before you find the good ones. They're certainly out there and they continue to grow. So don't want to dissuade you from pursuing it. I want to give you a reality check. Okay. Okay. Yeah. 12 years of farming. So there you go. You got it. You got something tangible there. It's not just, oh, I have a passing interest or, you know, I smoke or like, you know, that's just not going to be good enough. I'll give you one example. So one of my coaching clients who's doing, I mean, he's got a six-figure business. He actually went through the same program 2 years ago. That's how he got started, B2B launcher. And just heard from him in December. He's like, he's doing extremely well. He's doing six figures, writing for companies in the cannabis industry. He is an Army vet, and he has studied, you know, cannabis and the cannabis industry for a couple of years already before he even got started, and his positioning was perfect. He really does have a passion for veterans with PTSD and the use of cannabis to, you know, treat symptoms, and he tied it together really, really nicely, and it works for him. It totally works. So that's just another example of what you might need. Okay. So cool, Bill. Yeah, definitely something to consider. I want to give you kind of all the angles and all the factors to consider before making the final decision. Okay. Okay. Salee says, hey, thank you, Ed. Regarding the niche, I've already chose B2B freelancing and taking courses with Nick, Steve Slonwhite, Gordon. Because my background is education and business. Is it reasonable to be a copywriter and content writer serving education? And what are the potential projects rather than researching and authoring books? Okay. Yeah. So in education, there's lots of possibilities. So one of them could be higher education, right? So colleges, universities. Another one could be companies that sell into those institutions. So companies that sell products, services, solutions, technologies to higher education. That would be another one. Companies in the training space of the education field. And so corporate training of all kinds, publishers. There's just all kinds of possibilities. I think it just really depends on, you know, I would look more at your background in where do you have kind of an insider knowledge, if you will. That's going to be kind of the key. So let me unmute you and maybe you can tell me a little bit more. I'm trying to unmute you here. Oh, that's not working. So Salee, can you tell me a little bit more about, you know, maybe your professional background now that might help me maybe kind of give you, because it's such a broad market, that if you have a little bit more specificity, that could help. So let me know kind of what you do now, and I might be able to send you in the right direction. Okay. Okay, Karen. Yeah, I know you got to go. Glad to hear that was helpful. Good stuff. And listen, before you leave, again, we're here for you. So take advantage of the Facebook group. If you need feedback, and I think you just submitted your copy. You should get a review here from Susan in the next couple of days. So be on the lookout for that. We'll tag you when we put that up there. Okay. Guys, it's an open floor right now, so let me go back to the screen to remind you. If you have a question, just type in capital Q in the chat area and just kind of give me an idea of what you have, and I can unmute you. We can have a conversation. Or if you're somewhere where you can't talk, just, you know, give me as much as you can there in the question in the chat area, and I can take a look at the context and background. Great questions today. Good diversity of questions. All right. Let's see. We got a couple of things here. Let's see. Bill has one. In order to take a gig, I had to sign an NDA, which is a non-disclosure agreement. Any suggestions on how to leverage this job if I legally can't talk about it with prospects? Okay. So Bill, I got to ask you a couple follow-up questions. Hey, Bill, you're unmuted. How are you?
Good. How are you? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Good. All right. So you have to sign a non-disclosure agreement. Did the client say anything other than just making it kind of a standard procedure?
No. Other than the fact that I did ask if I could use this as, you know, on my website or whatever, and they were not keen to do that.
Okay.
It's an agency that's working for a large bank, and I think that, you know, they'd rather not have that relationship made public.
Yeah. Gotcha. And this is your first client?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. So with when that comes up, I always have a backup question. So the first issue is, hey, can I use this as a sample on my website? So in other words, I have three. So that's the public facing. Can I put it up there? And the answer in this case would have been no, right? No.
Yes.
Then I have two backup, kind of fallback positions. Well, the first one is, okay, well, can I use it? I'm not going to post it, but when I'm talking with a serious prospect, would I be able to email it to them, just as a sample? You know, so this wouldn't be out there in the world. It wouldn't be on the internet. It would just be me doing that. And many times they'll agree to that. They'll say, that's okay. We just don't want it out there.
Yeah.
And then the third one would be if they say no to that, okay, cool. Let's forget the sample. If I'm talking with a prospect, could I verbally mention that, you know, I've worked with you?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I would say in most cases they're going to say yes to one of those two fallback positions.
Mm-hmm.
But, the whole point here is don't be afraid. You're really negotiating there, right? Don't take no for an answer right away. Because many times it's just a matter of procedure. And, you know, if they understood maybe a couple of alternatives, they might be willing to go with one of those.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know whether there was some way of mentioning it cryptically and making it almost sound, in a way, I'm not sure exactly what I'm trying to say, but you know, in a way that makes it sound like, well, okay, this person is working with a client that, you know, has an NDA and there's a certain amount of importance there, or if you know what I mean.
Yeah, you could absolutely do that. So, like, let's say that, you know, it was Citibank, you could say that, you know, I work with clients in, you know, the banking industry, including one of the top, you know, I don't know what they're, one of the top five.
Top five in the world, actually. Top 10.
Blanks in the world, yeah.
Okay, yeah, that's a good idea.
And then, you know, so let's say they nix all of those. They can't nix that because you're not saying who it is. And in a prospect conversation, you still have to respect that and say, I have a non-disclosure, but I can tell you that, you know, they're one of the top five banks in the world.
And it's fair
and
to say,
that's impressive.
And it's fair to say that I've worked with this bank, even though that I'm actually working through an agency.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I know several. I have several colleagues who that's where they have. I mean, I couldn't believe it. They have such impressive clients. And then when I met them and I talked to them, I realized that most of those came through agencies.
Hmm.
You know, UPS and Home Depot and Dow Chemical, like, oh man, that's crazy. It was through an agency. And by the way, you got to be careful how you word it. Like, they never said, these are my clients. They just say, I've written for companies such as Dow Chemical, Citibank, et cetera.
Gotcha. Yeah, makes sense. All right, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, guys, so always ask. Never take no for an answer, at least the first answer. All right. Hey, Dan, I see your question here. You're welcome. Starting out in this new revenue stream, I'm checking in to make sure I'm based in reality. Always a challenge with my overactive creative mindset. You and me both. I'm the same way. I'm currently running the other longtime freelance business. It always needs tweaking and updating, but it is running fairly smooth at this point. Since I've been writing copy for that business for decades, I've kept learning and studying copywriting. So I'm continuing to grow my skills by moving through the AWAI Accelerated Copywriting course. My question is, am I taking on too much by starting up another business in this industry? Has anyone else run more than one freelance business at the same time? All right. Yeah. So the answer is yes. People run multiple things at the same time. You won't be the first one. And hey, Dan, I've unmuted you. I don't know if you're at a place where you can you chat?
Yeah, I think so. Am I coming through?
Yeah. Yeah. Perfect. So tell me about what's your other business again?
Music business. I'm an entertainer and I write custom copy for music and comedy.
That's right. Okay.
Corporate events.
Yeah. So here's the thing, theoretically, it's best to focus on one thing, right? We've always heard that. But you have to be practical as well, right? So obviously that's where you have decades of experience. That's what brings in cash right now and, you know, puts food on the table. So you wouldn't nix that. But at the same time, I understand your concerns that, look, you know, this is not viable long term, not sustainable. It's been declining. So you're at a point where you got to start or you should start something else. And right. Unfortunately, you know, yeah, it's you're doing two things at once. Now, the good news is that you probably are at a place with your core business where you don't have to, you're not starting from scratch, right?
Right.
So you have some momentum, you have credibility, you have a track record there. So most of your, that kind of energy is just going to be put into this business, into your new copywriting business. So you have to do it. And where I see this a lot, by the way, it's the, I have a day job and I'm trying to do this on the side, build it on the side. Right. That's a very similar right. situation that you're in. In fact, that's how I started. Almost 3 years of doing it as a side hustle. I wish I could have quit my day job, but I just couldn't financially. I had a family to support. So I had to figure out a way to keep that going, keep my day job, keep the safety and predictability of that, and do this thing on the side.
Right.
Yeah. So think of it that way.
The challenge, of course, is with the other freelance business. It is a business, so I've got to oversee the other people that are, you know, I've got to check in with them. I've got to update. I've got to, you know, stand to, things are constantly changing and in flux, as you know. So
yeah. I hear you. I guess, let me put it to you this way. If you don't do this, if you don't grow something that has more promise, you know, what are your options? And I'm not saying you don't have other options. I'm just saying like that would be a good way to evaluate all the different potential scenarios.
Right. That's exactly where I'm at with this. Again, the music business has changed so much over the years that the writing's on the wall for me. The royalty checks are so much smaller. And boy, if I was a juggler or a magician, I think the corporate edge has really gone towards that. Music is considered an undervalued commodity at this point in time. And I'm okay with that. It's time to move on. It's fine.
Mm. Yeah, I know. It's unfortunate. My situation was kind of similar in a different kind of way, but I see the similarities, and what I was doing was unsustainable as far as I was concerned. I was doing well in sales and my employer was really pushing me to move into a different product that would require a lot of travel. Now, financially, That was a very lucrative path, but I know me and my personality, and I would have gone all in. And that would have meant out of the house every week. I had, you know, I had a small child at the time. And I know me. My marriage would have probably ended, you know, within 2-3 years. My kids wouldn't know me. I would have a lot of regret. So I didn't see that as a viable path. And when I asked myself that question, okay, if I keep going down this road, where does this go? What are my options? And I knew that I just had to bite the bullet and start something else, even if that meant, you know, more work. There's just no way around it, you know?
Exactly.
I didn't see, for me, there was no path. Changing jobs wasn't an option because it would be something, it would be the same problem. In a new company, 2 years later, I would have been in the same spot. Sales is a tough place to be. The better you do, the higher the expectations. And yeah, you can go down that rabbit hole very quickly, if you know what I mean.
Thanks. Just double checking.
You know, I feel you, man. You know, it's a short-term pain for hopefully a long-term reward, right?
Exactly. And that's exactly what I'm looking at is, how can I sustain something moving into this new chapter? And this is something I've given a thought about for quite a while. So I'm grateful for the direction from you, Ed. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely, man. My pleasure. Great to have you here.
Thanks.
Okay. Great questions. Love this stuff. Bill has a question. I don't know what I don't know about how to research companies in healthcare that would need writing. I'm new to the writing business and new to prospecting in this industry. Does this question make sense? Yeah. Bill, I wouldn't worry too much. So the good news is you don't have to do that much research. Okay. Here's what you want to look for. Okay. Really, I would keep it really, really simple. If you're looking at healthcare, you're looking for companies that are selling products or services as far as you can tell, there's innovation. And when it comes to healthcare, by the way, in most cases, unless you're talking about consumables or commodities, almost everything else is going to be innovative because it's just the nature of the business. So new and innovative is one factor to look for. Expensive, and by expensive, I mean that it's a considered purchase. It's not something that a client or a customer would buy online. It's a capital expenditure. And the final is complex, meaning that it has to be explained, described, that sort of thing. It's not a widget that, you know, everyone knows what it is. So when you look at that, so let's just say a piece of medical equipment or medical devices, those are great examples. Those fit and kind of tick off all those boxes. That you can be very confident that they're going to need written materials, okay? That they write marketing materials, which somebody needs to write. So that's kind of the first thing I think of. The second thing, and this is a little bit more obvious, would be to look at their website. Do they have some marketing materials, marketing resources in the way of brochures, case studies, articles, blog posts? Okay. If you see some of that, that tells you that they understand content marketing to some degree. And so they bought into it and there's a need there. I don't know how they're meeting the need. They could be doing it internally. They could be doing mostly internally with some outside writer help. They could be using mostly outside writers. We don't know. So that's pretty much the level of research you need to do. Going beyond that is counterproductive because it's not going to give you much more. That's what I look for. Okay. So yeah. And then in terms of how do you Google search for these types of clients? A great way to do that is to look for lists that are already compiled that are readily available. So for instance, top medical device companies. If you Google that, you will come across some publications in the medical device industry. I'm just using an example, medical devices. that have compiled the list of companies to be on the lookout for in 2019 in the medical device sector, or companies ranked by growth or ranked by revenue or whatever, okay? If you do that, the cool thing about coming across those lists is they've done kind of the heavy lifting for you. They've already compiled lists that you can get started with. So use those, and if and of course, once you, what will happen is you'll also realize who the, what the publications are in that industry. Once you have the publications, it's a matter of subscribing to their newsletters, which are free, and then looking to see who's getting mentioned, written up, who's advertising in these online publications, et cetera. That's going to give you even more ideas. But a great place to start is just by doing what I just said. Look for lists that have already been compiled by publications in the target market that you're going after. All right. Okay, Silly. So I got your notes. So you're going to send a message with exactly what you're doing. Perfect. Yeah, that will help me give you a little bit more specific direction. Okay, let's see. Tim has a question here. I'm coming from a sales background in international lighting manufacturing from China. Before that, I was in wholesale pool supplies, and I graduated with a BA in anthropology. I'm really starting from ground zero, and I'm comfortable with sales and selling and manufacturing metals, but want to put my social science to work and creative side to work profitably. I've been an ADHD dabbler all my life. I can't talk right now, but I'm listening. Okay. So I'm assuming that, you know, you're trying to figure out, okay, what target market do I go with here, right? First of all, Tim, I'll be honest. This is easier if we can have a conversation because there's several dimensions and facets to this decision. But I'll give you a visual too to kind of, and this is from session one, but kind of a different way to think about it. So let me go back to my iPad. Okay. So what you want to do is you want to think through several dimensions and, experience and background. Is the first one. And this is where you want to, and well, let me write the other ones. So this is a conceptual framework, okay? This is not going to give you a perfect answer every time. I think when it comes to positioning, you need something like this. You need a framework like this to help you make the best decision possible on paper. Once you get to the marketplace, it's probably going, if you do a good job, it's probably going to be almost dead on right or close to it. But once you get out there, the market is going to show you the way and you'll be able to refine and iterate as you move. But you got to start with something and you should make the best decision possible. So what I suggest you do is you start by making a just an inventory of what you have. And you mentioned some things here. Lighting. You mentioned, let's see, pool supplies. BA in anthropology, selling. So you have sales background, which is great. If you have it, great. You don't need a sales background to do this, but if you have it, that's cool. And what you want to do is you want to take each one of these. So let's just take lighting and you want to run it through these next three filters. The first one is, okay, do I still know people? Do I know people in that particular area? Lighting. Am I connected with some of these people? Even if it's been a few years, okay? What's the quality of my network there? I would look at quality and quantity, but quality is really a better variable. And let's just say that one, you know what? It's not amazing, but it's okay. So give it a check. This is one way you could do it. Then move to demand. By demand, I mean, is this a target market that, again, is selling products and services that are new, expensive, and complex. And I would say with lighting, definitely innovation there, right? So new or innovative. Expensive, it depends. In complex, yeah, maybe in some cases. When you talk about industrial lighting, commercial, especially in the industrial side, I know that there are several elements to that that could make it. It's not kind of the ultimate new, expensive, and complex industry, but there's, you know, I'm going to give it a check. It's not a check minus or a check plus. It's just a check. And then finally, how do I feel about the topics that I might be writing about and the people in that industry? Okay. And let's just say, you know what? I actually really, I'm really good at it. I really like it. So that one kind of, that's just a check plus. And what you're doing is you're going through each of these and you're going to go ahead and rate them. And at the end, you're going to have some kind of sense for which one might be the better one. Now, what I would pay specific attention to is the quality and the quantity of your network in each one and the demand. So if there's one, let's just take pool supplies, okay? Now, I don't know anything about the pool supply industry, but supplies, not equipment, supplies, I'm thinking consumables, right? Chlorine tablets, chemicals, cleaning supplies, that sort of thing. I imagine, I don't own a pool. When we talk about demand, the real question is this something that requires a lot of explanation, a lot of written materials because it's new, expensive, and complex? In fact, let's ask ourselves that. Is it new and innovative? Nah, not really. Is it expensive? No, these are consumables. Is it complex? No, not really. So that one didn't tick any of those three boxes. So you might have, with pool supplies, this might be great. And you love the topic, but this one here, check minus. Okay. So that's how we would think about it. Just from what you shared with me here, again, this is why it's better to have a conversation. I feel that this might be, you know, kind of the better possibility because that I got to imagine that in lighting, there's going to be a demand, not a check plus type of demand, but a demand for writing, right? A lot of maybe, especially brochures, web copy, that sort of thing. And, it's, you know, I don't know. I'm just guessing that, you know, this is something you'd like to write about. You wouldn't mind. And the question really becomes, you know, what's your network like there? Okay. So, and the reason your network matters is you're going to first tap your network for potential referrals and in some cases, maybe even an opportunity to work directly with somebody, you know, help them with something that they need written. So without knowing more, I think that one, and then what you could do is you could talk about one of your differentiators is the fact that you have a sales background. So you understand, you know, how to write copy that's engaging and persuasive. So let me know if that helps. So that helps visualize decision making. What if the network is deficient? If the network is deficient, then I think that you're still, if this is all you have, I would still go for it. But what I might do is just to kind of diversify a little bit. I would say lighting and other industrial, you know, maybe broaden. So go up a little bit and say industrial equipment and supplies, especially industrial equipment. You know, lighting with a concentration in lighting. You know, and again, I don't know the terminology or the specific sub areas there, but in that way, you can go a little bit broader. And you don't have all your bets there on the lighting market. Okay, does that help, Tim? So my buddy Steve Maurer is a perfect example of that. He is his target. So he's an electrician, and his target market is industrial manufacturers and safety equipment. So notice that's still broad. But I know he's worked with lighting companies, lighting manufacturers, and because he's got the broader umbrella of industrial, he's able to. Here's my impression of an umbrella. So he's able to do industrial. And then, you know, under that is, you know, there's lighting, safety, manufacturing equipment, et cetera. Okay. So you can kind of go here. You're going up a notch into a broader area, and that way you're not putting all your eggs in this basket. So that's another way to look at it if your network here is deficient. Cool. Great to hear. That was helpful. All right. Let's see. Christy has a question here. What if your network is not in the niche that you should be targeting based on other factors? Yeah. Let me see if I can unmute you here. Hey, Christy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Welcome.
Thanks. Yeah, I feel kind of weird because we talked about this on the last coaching call that I had with you, and I'm sitting here listening to you talk to everybody else, and I'm like, uh-oh, I think my positioning's wrong.
All right, so remind me again. So what? How do you have it set up right now?
So I went with my target, with my positioning as being small business because that's where my network is.
Mm-hmm.
I have a large network for small business, but I know you said small business is generalization. The other one, the target market that you were kind of indicating last time that I should go for was the medical offices, since I have experience working with them and I do have a small network with them.
Okay.
But it's very small. But if I wanted to be able to reach out to my network and get, I know when I say, like, I know a lot of people who own small businesses. I know a lot of people who own small businesses.
Okay.
That I know that if I'm reaching out to them, say, hey, you know, can I do this for you? Can I set up this, you know, set it, do your website for you or to get experience and to get the samples and stuff like you were saying. But small business is such a general area that now I'm listening to what you were saying today. I was like, well, I probably should be focusing on the medical offices. But if I do that, won't I be kind of shutting out my network?
Yeah. All right. So in your case, if we look at this that we just did, right?
Right.
Small business. I don't know why I can't write today. Small business and then medical offices. And you're saying that with small businesses, this was network. This is like check, 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 plus, plus.
Yeah.
And demand is going to be, I would say, at least a check. And
yeah,
topics,
I would say,
people.
I don't. Yes.
Right? So probably at least a check. Depends. That's going to be some variable. Medical offices, check, maybe?
Yeah, it's like a check or maybe a check plus.
Okay. The demand, yeah, about this. And
yeah, the demand, yeah, that I know, like, because from what you were saying today, I'm like, well, the demand is there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little bit more specific, right? Because small businesses, it could be check plus or minus, it depends. And then topics and people? How do you feel about
yeah,
that?
I don't mind it. I was going to say it's not an area I want to stay in, but I don't mind starting there.
Okay. So
but I just don't have much of a network to really shoot out to get started, to grab my samples.
So the problem you have with that is that, you know, if this is small business and this is medical office, if you start here in medical offices, and you exhaust what you have, and then now you got to go to cold prospects, and you know it's a tougher road there. If you decide, right, you know what, this is not working out, then you now have to kind of reposition yourself a little broader, right? And that's kind of hard work. I mean, of course, you got to do what you got to do. So let me ask you, right? I mean, I know this is a stretch, but medical offices are, I mean, you could make an argument that that's in many cases a small business.
The ones that I know are, they're all what you call the solopreneurs. They're all owned by one doctor.
Okay, perfect. So what if you did this? What if you start positioning yourself for small business with a specialty and concentration on medical offices? That is a very modular approach to your messaging that you can later change without like having to overhaul your site. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So start there.
I'm writing it down.
If you start there, you're going to be able to leverage this. This is what really stood out for me when you were talking.
Okay.
Your network there. And you're going to be able to also leverage this. And then you have the best of both worlds. I think that after a few months, you're going to have better clarity as to whether or not you're going to want to keep leveraging your successes with medical offices, or maybe kind of move on and go to a different type of a small business. But the fact that because you know so many of them, you know, I'd rather see you get some momentum and you can pivot later. You can refine.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Okay, yeah. That's where I lean, because when I did my positioning, that's where I was leaning, was the small business. And I was like, but that's generalization. That's not, and I actually put like at the top of my paper, I was like, I specialize in small business because I've been around small business since I was a kid. My mom owned a small business. So I was
perfect.
I know everything there is about small business, of, you know, about running it and working in it and all of that. So I was like, yeah. I was like, you can't specialize in small business. I was like, oh, yes, I can.
You can. I think if you're going to go the small business route, and again, this is an example of how you're going to be able to pivot and narrow it down later, you can actually stick with that. But in order to be sustainable long term, you're going to need project specialties.
Okay.
So,
and that's kind of the way I was leaning too, because I really, looking into the different projects and stuff that, I've been told that my writing is very, very good conversationally.
Mm-hmm.
So doing like blog posts and newsletters and doing their websites and stuff like that was kind of the direction I was heading in.
Perfect. It's what's not going to work is I write copy and content for small businesses. That is very obscure to them. That's too general. But if you go to small businesses with, I can help you launch a very successful newsletter or revive the one that you've been meaning to, you know, like keep going, but you never seem to be able to do it. Newsletters, web copy, websites. Hey, let me take your dying website. That's an embarrassment. Not that you would say this. And let me put something out there that's really going to impress your prospects. Marketing campaigns. Small businesses always need leads. You know, that's what's going to resonate with that market rather than, you know, kind of the broader category of copy and content, which is going to be more useful if you're going after corporate clients.
Okay.
You won't know. There's so many different paths you could take here. I think the best thing is just to start, and the market's going to show you the way.
Right. Well, I was going to say in the small business interested me too, because I've just got such a varied background and I know that I like changing things up and doing different things all the time and learning about different things all the time. So I was kind of like, well, that would actually, I think, fit for me because that way I'm always doing something different.
Yeah. And I get it. Listen, I've really seriously thought about, because there's some, you know, I'm a small business. You know, as a coach, I run a business. There's eight of us here. They're all contractors. We're scattered all over the world. But I have been able to build a practice with marketing strategies that I've been able to develop and refine. And I could take what I've done here and help a spot. I am confident that tomorrow I could start knocking on doors in an industrial park and confidently, you know, give myself a client or two and help them within a week, like give them the real results. I'm confident of it. So I've thought about that before. I'm like, you know, maybe I should do that. that would be fun.
Hey,
that
hey sounds now. Like fun to
me. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, we live in different cities, so where are you?
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I think that's a great, I'm glad you brought
it up. Yeah, no, that helps reassure me, because I was listening to what you were telling him before about, like, the healthcare and what your experience is, and I was like, well, man, I have experience with medical offices, and I've never mentioned this to, like, anybody, but I'm actually a certified personal trainer.
Oh, okay.
But I really don't like it. So that's why I've never brought it up as far as experience, because I really am not interested in it at all. It's one of those ones where it's like, no, I never want to go there again. But yeah, but that's so this really helps. This helps reassure me that I did actually go in the right direction when I did my positioning. So I kind of went with my gut and said, this is what I want to do. And then I was like questioning it. So this is good. Thank you.
Awesome. Great. And I have a little joke for you, which you probably have heard a million times, but for everybody, heard a personal trainer, actually, he's in my gym and I see his truck there sometimes, got a big banner on the side of his truck that says, pain is weakness leaving your body. So I love that, guys. If you're feeling pain,
and see, and I could never get behind that mentality. So
no, I know, and I remember thinking, "Ooh, well, okay." awesome. Well, Christy, keep us posted. Let us know how it goes once you know get this going.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, guys. So our time's up. Went a little over. Nope, no problem. This is great questions. Love this discussion today. Again, I want to remind everybody that if you have questions between calls, please don't hesitate to post them in the Facebook group. So Susan and I are there every business day. We're here ready to help you. We want you guys to be successful. I want to, for those of you who are still here, I want to hear from you on just two quick things, if you'll amuse me here. One is if you could go to the chat area and type in a capital T for takeaways, and I'd be curious to know what your top takeaway was from today's conversations. It could be something we talked about, or maybe something you heard from a conversation I had with somebody else. And while you're there, also type in capital A and let me know what your top action item is over the next 2 weeks. Okay, between now and our next call, what is your top action item? I want to make sure you have something tangible, something that, you know, if you haven't thought about it yet, now is the time to think about something you're going to do between now and then. I don't want these calls just to be something where you take notes and don't do anything. I want them to be actionable for you so you can start getting some results and some momentum. So capital T for top takeaway, capital A for top action item. Chrissy says, takeaway to trust my instincts and action, finish my website. Great. Bill says, takeaway, your discussion with Paul had some great nuggets in it. Oh, awesome. Glad to hear that was helpful. What about your action item, Bill? Let us know. Did I miss somebody? No. Dan says, top action item. Forge ahead with clarity and direction, baby steps. Excellent. There you go. Make sure, Dan, to have something tangible, though. You know, forging ahead, like what's the next step? What's a clear, definite, tangible action item you could take to forge ahead with clarity and direction? Paul, work on takeaway, work on my proposal and invoice, so I'm sure that's the action item. Kristen, everyone struggles to narrow the target. Very reassuring. Absolutely. I would say, Kristen, that's probably the biggest challenge. And, you know, unfortunately, that's what we start with, right? With the hardest stuff. But it's the foundational stuff. Without that, nothing else is really going to work. And even if you just have to basically at the end just toss a coin and pick one of two things you're really thinking about going with, just pick one and let's get started. Let's see. Bill, action item, website copy, website copy, website copy. LinkedIn too. Okay, that's very clear. Dan, follow your course. Good. Kristen, finish through module 5 so I can start prospecting. Excellent. Kristen, you're definitely very motivated. I love that. You're on a timetable here. That can be a good thing. Step by step. Follow the course step by step. Yeah, absolutely. Don't skip steps, guys. These things are here for a reason. Make sure that as you're marking each module or each lesson as complete, that you're taking action on it, that you're doing your homework, that you're doing what you're supposed to do. Don't be a course taker. Don't make this yet another course you take and not really act on. Make this the one you finally, if you haven't done so before, that you're finally really leveraging and getting a huge return on investment on. I'd love to see that. So Lee, I expect to finishing a great portion of my website. Great. And LinkedIn, says Sully. Tim, visualize the process was top takeaway. Good stuff. All right, guys. Again, excellent session today. Love this conversations we had. Let's continue that conversation in the Facebook group. And, of course, we'll have another coaching call here in a couple of weeks, just as a reminder. And we send email reminders to you, so don't worry. Our next one is 2 weeks from today, Thursday the 24th. Same time, same bat channel, 1 o'clock Eastern time. So you guys have a great rest of the day and a wonderful weekend, and we'll talk with you again real soon. Take care.